The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Morning Answer would like to know what you're thinking. 877-590-5843. That's 877-590-5843.
Hey, Jen. Hey, Grant. I've been noticing all this phony outrage over the golf league that's being backed by the Saudis. They're saying, oh, it's so bad to be a part of that. But yet all these same people are all trampling all over themselves trying to get in with China. The basketball, hockey, half of our businesses, and it seems like half of our political leaders are all bought, sold, paid for by China. Why is that okay? Just saying. Bye.
It's the Morning Answer.
Amen to that. Good Monday morning to you. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And, got to start the day with a chuckle because there's a lot going on. We've got another atmospheric river coming to town. We've got President Trump maybe getting arrested this week. And locally, we focus on the LA Unified School District because they're not going on strike, but they're going to close down anyway. Just, you know, it seems like the nice time to do it. So if you have a child in the LA Unified School District, they issued a statement yesterday saying that they are preparing for school closures, but remain optimistic that a resolution can be met before tomorrow. So if you have a kid in LA Unified, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, there is going to be a strike by the local union 99, which is the cafeteria workers, the bus drivers, the custodians. They're looking for a 30% increase in pay. The district has offered them a 20% increase, and they are not able to come to an agreement. So they realize that without these guys, they don't feel safe running the schools. And so they say, we're going to shut them down. Now, you would think if you're going to shut the schools down, that maybe you might do some of that virtual learning that we got so good at during the pandemic. But no, teachers union says we're not going to do that either. So just 3 days off. And by the way, if you want a packet with some worksheets in it, let us know and we'll give it to you.
I don't understand how the teachers union gets to decide that.
I know, right?
Like, what? This is literally the inmates calling the shots inside the prison. The teachers shouldn't have any say in this. The administrator should say, hey, guess what? Teachers, you don't have to come to work because we don't have the staff to operate this school. But we're going to go online Zoom. Just everybody open up a Zoom link for your class.
And that's why I really believe, because we were talking about this, and it is semantics. I had said, I think in solidarity, the LA teachers are going to be on strike. I think if that weren't the case, Grant, and maybe they're not making it official, I think they want to have those teachers available to go picket. What are we having? Are we having like pretzels or something?
Oh, I'm just folding up my garbage. Do you hear the crackling?
That was a good sound.
I could use that as, you know, like old-fashioned radio days where you had the sound effect.
I love
guy.
Making my own when we don't have the sound effects and you just go like, tick-tock, tick-tock.
Like that?
You could make that your tinfoil hat. You know, I use a piece of paper for mine. So
I could, which sounds like paper. It doesn't ever sound like
I know,
tinfoil.
But that's just radio of the mind. You know, you just have to pretend.
So,
but this is why I say that it's solidarity, because if not, I think these teachers would have to do online school. But I think they want the teachers available, if you wanted to know my conspiracy theory with my tinfoil hat on. Can you rattle it for me, please? There is a conspiracy afoot and that the teachers want to be able to go strike with the local 99.
So I don't believe that.
By the way, enjoy the atmospheric river tomorrow, you picketers. Because that'll be nice.
Yeah, that'll be great. I hope they're out.
Perfect
in the
conditions for a picket.
Rain.
Right.
So I believe that maybe the union leaders would want that. But if I'm a teacher, I'm not going to picketing. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to play golf.
But a lot of teachers do exactly what the union tells them to do.
I'm telling you, I know I get a lot of heat for this, but these teachers are lazy.
Oh, boy. I'm waiting for the text message from my mom. Did he just say that all teachers are lazy?
I think they are, because most teachers, the majority. Here's what I'm going to say. This is going to get all teachers angry, but I do believe it is true. Not only the majority of teachers, the large majority of teachers are lazy, and it's the rare occasion that you find an exceptional teacher.
I don't think so.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we can disagree. I mean, because you have had your experience. I've had some really good teachers in my life.
Yes, back in the day. This is a very different
back
day.
Back in the day? What are you talking about? You're making me sound old.
Well, I mean, we're at very different times. I told you what happened, you know, and everybody gets mad at me about this, but equal rights in the workforce ruined our education system, because every talented, bright woman who used to go into teaching when men ruled the workforce are now going and becoming CEOs, and God bless them for it. Becoming CEOs, becoming executive vice presidents, being the head of sales of this, being the general manager of that, doing all the brightest minds of women who would normally have gone into teaching when we had the greatest, brightest minds that were teachers teaching our kids. They're now going into business, and we got the bottom of the barrel when it comes to teaching.
Those comments made by Grant Stinchfield. Please send all communications to our program director, Chuck Tyler. Yeah, way to go, and like shooting down advancements. We can say that there are still good teachers out there who go into the profession because they want to.
So my son goes to Dallas Independent School District. It's a very, I would use the S word.
But he has good teachers, right?
What's that?
Doesn't he have some good teachers?
Over the course of his years, he's had a few good teachers. He's had a handful of good teachers. By and large, most of them are going through the motions. I've had one teacher in his junior high. He's in eighth grade, so he's been there. This is his third year. I've had one teacher proactively reach out to me on his behalf.
Wow.
One.
That's pretty sad, actually.
Miss Gillespie. She's great.
Well,
she's an exceptional teacher.
Let us know if you've got kids going into LA Unified. Are you upset that they're going to be out of school for 3 days? 855-785-8255.
Maybe you're lucky you get them away from these teachers.
It's like an early spring break. 855-785-8255. Now, another issue going on at home. California voters could decide whether to fund, you ready, a major expansion of housing and treatment for residents suffering from mental illness and addiction. This is the latest proposal from Gavin Newsom to address the homeless crisis. He announced Sunday that he's going to ask allies in the legislature for a measure on the 2024 ballot to authorize funding to build residential facilities where over 10,000 people a year could live and be treated. This is his latest plan. You know, he's been on this like weird small state of the state tour where he's going to four different locations to talk to people directly. 171,000 homeless people that we know about. Grant, I think it is so insulting, because while I want him to deal with housing and I want him to deal with treatment, he continues to ask for more and more and more money, and voters will vote for it because we want to be compassionate. But how does that money go not treating the homeless problem that continues to grow bigger and bigger and bigger, no matter how much money we throw at it?
I just saw I think it was a PragerU video of our buddy Dennis Prager.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those youngsters that was out on the street interviewing people, and she ends up interviewing an administrator. And she says, well, what do you administrate? She says, well, I run a nonprofit for homeless advocacy.
Okay.
And she says, how much do you make a year? She said, $248,000.
Oh, come on. Come on.
$248,000 in LA, by the way, in LA. So the point of the video was like, literally, we're spending so much money. People are getting rich off this billion-dollar homeless industry.
Yep. And we're creating it by the minute. 855-785-8255.
How do I get a piece of that pie?
Just hang out around the Sacramento. Just, you know, get into the line. All right, Grant, have you heard that there is a new way to deal with joint pain, pain from arthritis? Maybe you have injured yourself and you're not feeling like you used to. Maybe you can't do what you used to. And doctors say you either need to have surgery, take some downtime, or you need to start taking prescription drugs. Well, QC Kinetics is here. It's the nation's leader offering real, lasting, all-natural relief, no surgery, using the latest advances in regenerative medicine.
I love these guys. I really do. They're making available to all of you what has been available to pro athletes and the very wealthy for a long time. But now it is an affordable process and a doable process for the everyday citizen. Mm-hmm. So I urge you to go pay the folks at QC Kinetics a visit. Glendale, Mission Viejo, and Orange County, they have offices in. use this, like, what do you call it, a system, procedure that they have going where they take the healing properties of your own body, re-inject them back into these achy joints, and bing, bang, boom, you got real relief. QC Kinetics.
Bada bing, bada boom for QC Kinetics. You can get your free consultation. This is non-surgical joint pain relief. It's here. Pro athletes use it. Now you can too. QC Kinetics, 213-997-PAIN, 213-997-PAIN. As we continue, your thoughts on the impending teacher strike and more money coming to the 2024 ballot taxing California. Is it ever going to end? As your Monday Morning Answer continues.
Is it Beauty and the Beast or more Lady and the Tramp? Find out now here on The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
Thank you for joining us on your Monday Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
That was the voice of Dr. Sebastian Gorka. You know he's going to be fired up today on America First with the news that President Trump could be indicted, arrested this week. We're following that story. Testimony still underway in front of the grand jury in Manhattan at this moment. Here at home, we are looking at a looming teacher strike with the LA Unified School District, not necessarily because the teachers are striking for anything, but schools will be closed because Union Local 99 is going to be going on strike. Cafeteria workers, custodians, security, they're all going to be on strike. The teachers say, you know what? We'll go too. That means no more school.
Well, I mean, it's not that they're saying we'll go too. You remember the administration said we're closing the schools today.
And that's fine, but they could do online education and they are choosing not to do that.
But the administration has to choose that, not the school district.
But the teachers union, you don't think is all involved in this process?
Of course.
I think they want the teachers to go out and strike alongside 99 to put on pressure.
I guess it doesn't really matter whether we speculate or not. We can speculate. When you look at the facts of what's happening here is the support staff are striking. There's no way to run these schools. There really isn't. You can't run schools without janitors. You can't run schools without cafeteria workers. You can't run school. There's no way to keep these schools open. There's too much that goes into keeping a school open. So you got to close them. So the administration says we're shutting down the schools. The teachers union probably doesn't even have to say anything.
The fact that here's what my beef is that we have put students at home, set them back a year, sometimes 2 years in their learning and development because we were shutting everything down for COVID because we couldn't open the schools. Now you're going to take another 3 days off of the school year. Already you had COVID protocols. If someone came into contact with somebody, then those people had to be out of school for 10 days. It's ridiculous. So we put together virtual learning. If you are choosing not to have classes, if you're choosing, you're saying it's too hard to do classes, do the virtual education. You should not be giving kids just more free time when they're already suffering. This is so, not like they haven't had 3 years of this already.
I agree with you on all fronts. I just think your beef right now is with the teachers union. I think your beef needs to be with the Los Angeles Independent School District's administrative staff, the superintendent of schools, who's not demanding.
Oh, I have plenty of beef for them too. Believe me,
that's where the beef. Now,
The beef is the fact that the teachers say in a slide that I saw that someone sent me from an LA Unified School District meeting that said, if you want a packet of worksheets, they'll be available upon request. Okay, so now you're not doing virtual school, and I have to go beg you for some work for my kid to do.
So again, I told you the majority of teachers are lazy. So again, you've got to go back on the school district. Why is the school district demanding? Hey, you have take-home kids. We're going to prepare for this. You have take-home work for all your kids. This is what they're going to have to do. Make sure you put a plan together going into the 3 days. And if you can, not even if you can, and I want everybody on a Zoom call and let the kids who can get on Zoom.
Yep. I can guarantee you they're doing it because they want the support in the field for the striking union. Now, Joel is on his way to work. He's an LA Unified School District teacher. Joel, good morning. I say thank you
to
your service because if you're a good teacher, you are serving our children quite well, and thank you for that.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I think I am a good teacher. I'm not part of the union, so I'll start with that.
Okay.
I've taught for 30 years, 35 with the district, 5 as a teacher's assistant, 30 as a teacher now. I don't believe in the strike. It's all just for more money. And the statement that a lot of teachers are late, well, most teachers are late, it's probably not true, but a lot of them are. And a lot of them are inept. And so I totally, you know, but it's the whole system that's rotten. The administrators that don't really care about students I teach fourth grade, and I've got a kindergarten level in my class, first grade level in my class, and the system just lets them through grade by grade. LA Unified likes to give out diplomas, honorable certificates that are worthless.
So can I ask you a couple of questions, Joel, because I want to make sure that I'm not jumping to conclusions here. So, number one, are your students suffering from the COVID closure that happened for 18 months?
Well, I would say yes, but those that wanted to learn didn't. Because, like I said, it's everybody. It's the parents, it's the teachers. When the COVID started, I went online right away. But a lot of my colleagues were saying, oh, it's not on the contract. We don't have to teach them, you know.
Yeah.
So but the kids that wanted to learn, they're at grade level.
They did, and the kids that did. Okay, and a lot about parental support, which is always the case. Okay, so that's number one. Yeah. And then number two, talk to us about why the teachers are going home, why the teachers aren't going to be teaching for the next 3 days because of the Local 99 strike.
Well, it is my opinion that they're doing this for more money as pressure on the school district. So if they see that a lot of people are going on strike right now, when the teacher's contract comes up, my bet is that they'll be that's what they're hoping for, that the school district will kind of see this and try to avoid a strike with teachers as well.
So I appreciate your how do I phrase this? Your
honestly,
candor and political correctness in the conversation. I do find it interesting, though. I think you do agree with me, even though I say it much more harshly than you, but I think you do agree with me that we have a real problem with a lot of lazy teachers.
Well, I think there's a lot of lazy teachers, but also apathetic because, you know, again, it's the system that allows kids to go from grade to grade with no consequence. Like I said, one time I taught a sixth grade class. I had kids reading at second grade level, third grade level. And it's the system, the administration of the district wants to pretend that they have a high graduation percentage, but they're giving out a lot of diplomas that are worthless.
Yeah. Joel, thanks so much for the phone call and for what you do for your kids. 855-785-8255.
Jen.
Yep.
Do you see that is proof of what I said? Did you hear what he says? I don't agree that the majority of teachers are lazy, but a lot of them are lazy.
Well, yeah, I think
if you have a lot of them, that means the majority.
Well, he said not all of them, though. Not all.
You know what he was doing, and you could hear in his voice, which is what I said. You know what he was doing. He was being very careful about how he phrased it, but you know he agrees. That's the sad reality of what we face today. We got teachers who, and even if he says they're they're just, you better take it. I got a cough.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I've been used to this last couple of weeks. All right, 855-785-8255. Your thoughts on the impending. That's okay. Teacher strike. We've got the Biden basement briefing coming up. And hey, don't forget our evening with Larry Elder next Wednesday. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, they are going to sell out. Probably will sell out this week. It's Larry Elder before he could announce for the presidency coming up in April. If you want to hear what he thinks about the scandal with President Trump, about national matters, domestic, foreign matters, he'll have them for you at the Embassy Suites in Glendale. It's going to be an intimate evening with Larry Elder. I'll be hosting 6 to 8 p.m. at the Embassy Suites in Glendale. Tickets on sale right now. AM870TheAnswer.com. AM870TheAnswer.com. As we continue, a lot of people angry with Joe Biden for something. We'll tell you what it is as your Monday Morning Answer continues.
The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him in a foot.
It's The Morning Answer.
There we go. It is a single word if you are Joe Biden. Thanks for joining us on your Monday Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And if you're new to the program, 7:36, we're right on the money. That brings us to the Biden basement briefing.
This is the daily Biden basement briefing.
Come on.
Title 42 is going to go away before the end of the year in terms of the Supreme Court, my prediction.
Come on.
And then we're going to have to use Title 9, Title 8. 8, right? Am I right?
Come on, man.
Yeah, Title 8, 9.
Come on, man.
All right. Well, in the Biden basement briefing today, Grant, reporters kind of upset that Joe Biden has not stopped to take questions or to talk to them, especially as more of the information about the Biden crime family takes center stage. The White House seems to be shielding President Biden from the press. They refuse to let him take questions after promising him that they would have had a chance to talk to him after the Prime Minister of Ireland came to town to celebrate St. Patrick's Day on Friday. As they scurried him out of the room, reporters erupted in anger after the press conference between the two men, and he ignored all of the questions that were being shouted in his direction. Even the Irish Prime Minister stopped to talk to reporters on the White House driveway. President Biden? Mm-mm. Crickets.
Are we playing that sound or no?
No, that's just up to you. Yeah.
President Biden, crickets. Since he's not talking, I will.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, look, they're making a lot of deal over President Trump's comments about these protests.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that actually mean? CNN, I just watched a clip in the break of CNN going after Alina Habba, you know, my friend who's President Trump's attorney.
Yes.
Does he need to be more careful in his language? And you know what her response was? Very simple. Protesting in America is a fundamental right of ours.
Of course.
In America. And that it's the CNNs of the world that twist what happens when people protest, like January 6th. You know, I saw more video from January 6th over the weekend. I've been releasing video as it becomes available
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
I saw more video of some Trump supporters breaking windows. And you know what happened?
What's that?
The other Trump supporters grabbed them and stopped them.
And pushed him back.
Have you seen that video?
I have not. Uh-uh.
No, most people haven't. They're getting mad at them. They start yelling, come on, you don't ruin property like that. This is the great insurrection.
Yep, the great insurrection that they're working on, or that
can you imagine an insurrection going back to the 1500s in England, and they're storming the castle, and it's an insurrection, and the masses who want the queen's head says, no, don't destroy any of the doors or the property, no, and they're pulling people back.
Yeah.
That's not how an insurrection works.
Not quite. But there are certain events that happen during that day that they love to show over and over again. And then there's hours and hours of footage that they don't want you to see. Now, you want to have a little fun before we go on to like the border stuff and the Biden basement briefing. There is a former player, an assistant coach, a one-time coach for the Indiana University Hoosiers, and a former head coach at Bowling Green, who is now doing a radio show. So you know who this is. This is Dan Dakich, I think is how you say his name. And he decided to have a little fun with Kamala Harris. Now, we have talked over and over again about Kamala Harris and just her brilliance. You know, community banks or banks in the community. I know over the weekend you had a video out talking about the Wi-Fi on the bus. And, I mean, just Kamala's deeply intelligent.
I put her – I guess it's a condolence speech to Howard University.
Did you see this? Yeah, because they lost.
By 28 points. Mm-hmm. And she says you can hold your chin up high because you played to the very last minute.
Yeah.
Nobody who loses by 28 points is playing to the very last minute. They literally want the game to be over as soon as possible.
Yeah, she offered them a pep talk. You're right about that. And so
it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. So out of touch, so lack of empathy. No idea what a world-class athlete, and if you play basketball for Howard University or any Division I institution that's playing at the level of the NCAA tournament,
yeah,
you are a world-class athlete. They do not want to hear hold your chin up high after
you're
losing by 28 points.
I know. Everybody said that this address was very cringy and that she was just, you know, she was booed by the crowd. It was not a good look all the way around. So here's this former Indiana coach, Dan Dakich, having a little fun with Kamala, her pep talk, and a little more.
You guys are so good. You guys are so good. You played hard. You played to the very last second. You made all us Bisons so, so proud. You hustled out there. You are smart. You are disciplined. You put everything you had into the game. And you know, that's what it's about, right? Until the last minute, you guys did that. You didn't stop until the last second, you did not stop. And that is so inspiring. So you keep playing with chin up and shoulders back. because you showed the world who bison are. Right?
So
losers. Losers. They're 28-point losers. They're disgusted with themselves. They're disgusted with how they played. And I don't mean that in a mean way to Howard. I mean that as world-class athletes, nobody wants to lose by 28 points. She's talking to them, Jen, as if they're like in kindergarten or something.
Well, and that's what he was laughing. Are you reading the story? Because that's exactly what he said.
No, I didn't.
He says she talks to people like they're in kindergarten. She loves her own jokes. He goes on to say, I would be sitting there going, man, come on. But I will say this. I thought the Howard Kids Show class, I thought they were fantastic. They sat there. They were respectful. And at the end, she invited the Howard team to come to the White House. He said he thought that was cool. But man, oh man, that's a bad speaker. How is the vice president speaking like that? The answer, Dan, is because she speaks like that to everybody. She talks to everybody like we are all in kindergarten. And then she laughs about it. Right? Hello?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You were talking to me? Yeah.
No, yeah. I was talking to Grant, but hi, you're on the mic now.
He's pulling a radar on.
Welcome back. So
this is how Radar, who stood in for Dan, this is how he did it over the course of the week.
Yeah.
So
Dan, our producer man, is back from a very lovely vacation. You had a good time, right, Dan?
It was
Dan,
a lot of fun. I missed you all, though.
We missed you. All right, so now back on the mic. Hello.
Hey, did you really think about us? You didn't think about us while you were on vacation.
I did a couple times.
Come on. Dan, just be honest. Say no, you didn't. You didn't.
Now, granted, I didn't listen to anything of the show except the Instagram, but I was thinking of you.
Thank you.
Okay, so you had something to say here?
Yeah, so Howard University could be going to the White House. I've been doing a little research. The two-time defending national champion Georgia Bulldogs have not been invited for either title. So just wanted to throw that out there. That's very interesting.
Sure, it's
why
just
have the Georgia
oversight.
Bulldogs not been invited?
No one quite knows. I was looking into this, and there's kind of confusion as to why the Georgia Bulldogs have just been excluded for 2 years.
And so she's going to invite Howard, who loses by 28 points?
Maybe I'd invite them just for having to listen to her talk, her spiel.
I'm going
to
do this. I have a thing called E-Block on the Real America's Voice show.
Is that the wrap-up?
It's the wrap-up. It used to be the equivalent. If you remember the Newsmax show, we used to talk about F-Block.
Mm-hmm.
We have one less commercial break in the Real America's Voice show. So E-Block, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to use Dan's deal about how the Georgia Bulldogs have not been invited. Now, that's football and basketball?
That would just be football, college football for Georgia.
What, do they have two national champions?
Yeah, they won last year and this year.
And they weren't
neither invited
time either
time?
Yeah. Why?
Back-to-back champions.
There seems to be some confusion. I'll do more research into this, but yeah, people are just saying, wait, why haven't they been invited? And no one is quite sure exactly why.
Does Joe Biden hate the Georgia Bulldogs?
Well, it's a red state.
But it's not
sort of.
Really. I mean, kind of. If anything, he should be loving Georgia. They gave him a radical Democrat senator.
Well,
we
and
give
all
him a
the deaf
radical
people in Georgia
Republican
vote Democrat. So
Secretary of State.
You missed that. All the dead people in Georgia vote Democrat.
What's that? What did you say?
All the dead people in Georgia vote Democrat.
Oh, all the dead people.
Get it? Get it?
I thought that's Chicago.
Them too. California. Oh. All right. Gosh, it's tough around here. You know what? We're going to shift gears a bit, though.
Dan has something to say.
Just a quick update. They finally did get an invite like a month ago.
Oh, so this is fake news, Daniel?
No. It's true that after they won the national championship, we didn't hear anything. And now after 2 months, they're like, oh, shoot, it's been 2 years and they've won both. Yeah, let's send them.
All right.
So they haven't been yet, but we'll keep an eye on it.
All right. So hopefully they'll show up there soon.
I wonder if they could share the stage with Howard.
Maybe. There you go. The winners, here's how you win, and here's how you don't win. All right, Melissa Giller will join us from the Reagan Library. They have a brand new exhibit opening now. It's going to be really, really cool. An important one, too. If you have kids maybe over the next few days, you want to take them while the schools are on strike, we're going to tell you about Auschwitz opening at the Reagan Library. Melissa Giller will join us as your Monday Morning Answer continues.
Breaking news and expert commentary. This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us on your Monday Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And you know, Grant Stinchfield, that I feel very blessed to live in Southern California where we have two.
We all do.
Yes. Well, for a multitude of reasons, but we have two amazing presidential libraries in our area. One of them, the Nixon Library. We talk about them all the time. But the gem, the Reagan Library, is absolutely gorgeous. It is something that you want to go see, and they have these traveling exhibits that really freshen things up all the time. It's such a fantastic place to go. And joining us right now on the program is their chief marketing officer, Melissa Giller, is here. Welcome back. First of all, Melissa, to The Morning Answer. So nice to have you here.
Thanks for always having me back.
Well, it's great. I'm such a fan. The library not only brings in great speakers, great series, the exhibits are amazing. You've got Air Force One in this amazing Air Force One pavilion. Of course, the resting place of President Reagan and Mrs. Reagan. And you also have these exhibits that change up, and they are really fun. You have different ones that bring in people for different reasons. This one, not fun, but serious and so important. You've got one opening up now on Auschwitz. It opens March 24th. That's this week. And we can't wait to hear about it. So tell us more about what we can expect from this exhibit.
Yeah, so this is the largest special exhibition we've ever brought in. It's 12,000 square feet. Wow. We actually turned over some of the main Reagan Museum over to this exhibition to make sure we could tell the story properly. It's called Auschwitz Not Long Ago, Not Far Away. It has over 700 original artifacts that were direct witnesses to the horrors of Auschwitz and the Holocaust, as well as over 400 photographs. It is a beautifully put together exhibition with so much meaning that, you know, we can't forget. This didn't happen that long ago or that far away. And if we do forget, it could happen again. And the exhibition has just a very important message for people to come out and see.
You know, I would offer up that it is happening. I think what we're seeing with the Uyghur Muslims, you can go to Africa where you see genocide going on as well. And I think the world turns a blind eye to this, and sometimes I'm not sure why. Maybe it would be in the average everyday American, and maybe some of our political leaders' best interest to go pay this exhibition a visit to remember what this really is about and what happened at Auschwitz, and take a look at what's going on around the world today.
That's right. So at Auschwitz, 1.1 million people were murdered, of which a million people were Jews. And of course, being the Holocaust and being Auschwitz, it does talk a lot about the Jewish faith. But this exhibition isn't just about Judaism. It's about hatred, hatred against all religions and ethnicities and, you know, anyone that the Hitler Party deemed, as in their words, undesirable elements, which is a horrible word or term for a human being, whether that was Roma or gypsies or homosexuals or African Americans or even, you know, people who just felt politically against the Nazi regime. All of those people were targeted, and the exhibition does talk about that.
It is really amazing. And if you've had the opportunity, you know what this is like. If you've been to the Museum of Tolerance in past times, this I know is something that's new and really starting at the Reagan Library, and it's going to continue on, right, Melissa?
Right. So this exhibition, as you said, it opens on March 24th. It runs through August 13th. Our entire first 10 days are already completely sold out.
Wow.
In the past, you know, we've always told people, you know, feel free to buy your tickets online or come walk in. We're recommending everyone buys online in advance because there's a very good possibility that you could drive up here and we could be sold out and you're turned away. And we really would hate for that to happen. So we really do encourage people to purchase their tickets in advance online. There's no additional charge to buy it online. Just so that you can guarantee yourself a spot to see this exhibition.
You know, this is probably how presidential libraries have to stay relevant.
Yes.
I remember when the Clinton Library opened up, it was like the biggest thing. And when I was driving down, you know, obviously even a hardcore conservative, I wanted to go see the Clinton Library. I'm fascinated by these presidential libraries from whatever party. And I stopped in Little Rock to see. It was like the biggest thing going.
Yes.
When George Bush's library opened in Dallas, where I spent a lot of time, it was like the biggest thing going. And then people start to forget. Now, what you guys have going for you is that it's Ronald Reagan. This man is iconic. Nixon was a big president. Bush has his issues and was a president. But Ronald Reagan is iconic. That's got to help you amongst any of the other libraries.
So we have a couple things going for us. As you said, we are the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, and you know he continually ranks as one of the top presidents of the United States, so we get a lot of visitors for that. We have an actual Air Force One airplane, as Jennifer said in the beginning, and that brings us a lot of visitors.
You know, and just so you know, though, I went to Graceland, and they have Elvis's plane.
Okay, okay.
A little different, though.
Yeah,
the king, the president.
And then since 2011, we've been doing two of these special exhibitions a year, and that really, it does a handful of things. It brings people back who have already been here, and they don't, you know, why do I need to come back? I've already seen Air Force One. I've already seen the Reagan Library. Oh, but I have to see Titanic. Oh, I have to see Pompeii. So they come back. Then there's the people who say, Ronald Reagan, I don't know. But, oh, my gosh, there's an exhibition on Abraham Lincoln, and I need to see Abraham Lincoln, right? Mm-hmm. So then you come up to see the Abraham Lincoln exhibition, and then you're here. You have to walk through Air Force One. You have to see the Oval Office. You have to see the Berlin Wall. And suddenly you've seen our whole property. And so because of that, we have remained the most visited presidential library in the library system since about 2004, 2005.
Do you know?
It's either the second Bush or Johnson. Those are the two that sit around 250,000 a year, and we sit at about 375,000 a year. And sadly, some only see 20,000 people a year. So, exhibitions like this, when this exhibition, the Auschwitz exhibition was in Kansas City about a year ago, it closed with 6,000 people on the waiting list who were never even able to buy a ticket.
So you've got to get there, and you've got to make your plans and buy your tickets, and you'll want to do that. ReaganFoundation.org. Melissa Giller is here, Chief Marketing Officer. I know that a big part of Auschwitz not long ago, not far away, a lot of artifacts are going to be a piece of this. You're going to see real elements from this important moment in our history. So, Melissa, what were you most shocked to see, or what did you see in there that you thought really stands out as a piece of this? I know you've been doing some media previews over the last couple of days.
You know, there's a handful. There are actual fence posts from Auschwitz-Birkenau that kept the prisoners inside. It's what the electric wires were strung beneath. There is a piece of a real barracks from Auschwitz-Monowitz. And a bunk bed from there as well, and you kind of stand there, and they have it just juxtaposed to a photo of barracks, and you see, you know, the hundreds of prisoners, you know, 3, 4, 5 in each bunk bed, and then to see the bunk bed itself sitting there. Wow. But what gets me the most, honestly, is the video, or are the videos. There's 50 audio stops, about 12 videos, 14 videos, and there's a video in there that plays. Hitler at his version of the parliament, whatever they called it, and he's giving his speech about the total annihilation of the Jews. And when he says that and he pumps his fist, everyone that's in the parliament and in the quote-unquote audience erupt in cheers. Ugh. And clapping and hoots and hollers, and just even telling you this gives me chills that this is, you know, again, not that far, long ago. So everyone who goes in is going to, I think, see something different. There's just amazing drawings from survivors who found that when they were liberated, it was too hard for them to share it with their voice, so they drew what they saw. And those pictures are in the exhibit as well, and they're haunting. It's a two-hour experience at a minimum. We're telling people it's probably 2 to 2.5 hours, so you really need to sort of plan your day accordingly because there's so much to take in. And it's not, you know, it's not an easy exhibition to go through.
Sure.
But it's, again, I keep repeating myself, but such an important exhibition to go through.
Absolutely. And this is something where you want to take especially your high school age kids, probably college kids, to make sure that they see this. And I think it bears repeating. You have to remember this history so we don't repeat it, and at least we can stand up against how it is being repeated around the globe. Melissa Giller, always so nice to have you here. You know you're welcome anytime, an open invitation. Auschwitz, not long ago, not far away. You can buy your tickets right now, ReaganFoundation.org. Come and see the library, see the exhibit, give yourself the day to really tour it through. And we'll talk to you again soon, Melissa.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. ReaganFoundation.org. That's where you can find it. That was Melissa Giller from the Reagan Library. Thank you for that. All right, as we continue, what does California need to do to start winning again? Well, a guy who seems pretty dialed into that, Scott Pressler, is going to join us as your Monday Morning Answer continues.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.